Welcome to Small World with Bazooka Joe, March 16th.
This is Bazooka Joe, and you're listening to The Small World. And right now, we have a special guest, Elle, with a new segment called Shadow Crew, which we will discuss all sorts of nefarious doings, such as identity theft and phone fraud. Elle, why don't you introduce yourself and tell us a little bit about yourself?
I'm Elle, and I've been on a variety of boards, websites that have been primarily for the identity theft, credit card fraud, bank fraud type segment of society. I've been both on that side and the anti side of those type of websites. And currently, right now, we run a variety of anti-carder type boards or anti-fraud boards out there that are dedicated to trying to bring down the online gangs of identity theft, bank fraud, and credit card fraud.
Elle, how did you end up being on both sides? It's sort of a contradiction.
Yeah, it is. I started out because in the background of my life, I've been a long-term criminal. And so I have been in and out of prison throughout my life. And I ran into Shadow Crew as just by accident, actually, by running into the original board, which was called Counterfeit Library. And Shadow Crew came from that board when it was shut down. And I developed a reputation on that board as a writer. I gave a lot of people experiences about the criminal life and kind of gained a large reputation and a large following of people from that site. And then got into a major carding operation with a huge organized crime ring in Russia, and then was subsequently arrested in Issaquah, Washington, with a couple of other partners that were involved in the operation. And then they were released while I ended up doing all the time for it. And when I got out, I ran another board of my own, which was called the Grifters.net. And at that time, we, I guess, kind of played with the same type of thing that Shadow Crew had become, and we were doing that for a while, and then I guess things just changed. You know, we started looking at all, I started looking at all the victims and all the people that were being victimized on these type of boards, and the more I tried to get people to walk away from it, the harder it became for me to be a part of it, because the people that I had come to know were not exactly the type of people that were really quality people. They were people that were dedicated to, you know, the art of stealing everything they could from anyone. As long as they had money to steal, these people would steal from them. It didn't matter if it was on eBay. It didn't matter if it was some little old grandmother and some small town that, you know, had saved up enough money to buy their kid or her grandchildren or whatever, something decent off of eBay. It didn't matter. These people would prey on anyone. And I saw many, many people become victimized by them. And they have no remorse. None. Absolutely none.
So let's go back to your own activities in the past. What kind of people did you prey upon?
I didn't prey upon people. I always preyed upon banks. I never really liked preying on people. That wasn't something that I was a part of. My issues were that I would only hit large corporations, insurance companies, and banks. I was not into hitting people, average people, rich people. It didn't make any difference unless they were just super rich. And at that point, it was a grifting thing. It wasn't an actual, let's go out and steal this person's money and take everything he owns. There was a few issues in my life where being a grifter, which is, I guess, what I had become. You know, playing long cons and, you know, that type of thing was more interesting. But only, you know, when the people you're doing it against are extremely wealthy, and you never take everything they have. You only take what they can afford to lose. And you always leave them smiling in the end. You never leave them, you know, hurting. Yeah, never. And I've played a few of those games in my lifetime, but I as far as on Shadow Crew, I was always against hitting people. But what Shadow Crew started out as was more or less hitting the banks, credit card companies, and that type of thing. But then it slowly evolved into a sewer of people that would just, you know, they would steal from anyone. It didn't make any difference. I talked to people that were making, you know, fake cashier's checks, and they were sending them to, you know, to people for their goods and services on eBay or even out of the newspaper. I've seen people go out and actually, you know, give cashier's checks to people for selling their belongings, you know, and they've gone in and just taken everything they own and handed them a cashier's check and then laughed about it. These people are sick, you know. I mean, doing that to people is just, you know, it's been something that I just don't cross that line.
Well, we're going to start off this segment with a very high-profile celebrity case regarding identity theft. It's the Paris Hilton hack. What can you tell us about that? What is the history of this?
Well, back in March of last year, Ethics, who was a member of the Grifters organization, kind of a lower-level guy, but he was still a member of the Grifters, one day he came around and he let me know that he had access to Paris Hilton's voicemail, Damon Dash, his voicemail, his, you know, all of his text messaging, and he wanted to vend this product. And the thing about Shadow Crew and these type of websites that are out there are vending products for identity theft, credit card fraud. That is where you make your money, and that's what draws in the buyers or the, you know, the people that want to buy fake IDs, credit card data, you know, info data on people, you know, that type of thing. So he wanted to come online and he wanted to vend on the Grifters a service in which he could give people information on T-Mobile accounts. And he claimed that, you know, he could get any information, of which he then set about producing. And
now, how much money do you think he could have gotten for that kind of information, or did get?
Millions, millions, millions. Yeah, he could have gotten millions from it. You know, the National Enquirer would have paid a lot of money. I think attorneys would have paid money. You know, the business of info brokering, while it's, you know, sleazy, people still buy it, regardless of how they go out in the media and trumpet how, you know, wrong it is to, you know, to info broker people's information and how we're going to stop this crime and whatever. It's a sleazy business, and people will buy information on anyone. Like with Damon Dash, I was reading stuff that had to do with his divorce and had to do with custody of his child, you know, conversations with his attorney, you know, conversations with his mother, conversations with trying to talk with, you know, various studio executives. He mentioned Quentin Tarantino. You know, there were a lot of things in there that, you know, plus his camera phone, you know, his bill, you know, which was running some, I think, $45,000 or $50,000. A month in the cell phone traffic bill. Everybody that was involved in his company, how his company was set up, you know, all that information that he had given T-Mobile was literally, you know, available to Ethics. And Ethics wanted to vend this product and make money off of it. And I think he could have made a fortune off of it. The thing is that, you know, he didn't realize the amount of law enforcement effort that was allied against him on these boards. Because while there are a lot of criminals on these boards, there are an equal amount, if not more than an equal amount, of law enforcement personnel that are out there trying to set up people, trying to catch them, trying to get them involved in business deals so they could, you know, eventually arrest them. And so...
Right. It only makes sense. That's actually standard procedure.
Well, yeah. Yeah, it's standard procedure, yeah. But, you know, at the same time, when law enforcement then is running these sites or is, you know, in the business of being on these sites to make deals, I've seen people, you know, get set up. You know, they come on the board, they have nothing, you know, a year later, they built up $1 million, and that's when they then get them, you know. But, you know, these sites were set up to give people that are in the online world self-esteem that they did not have. And by being a character on these boards, by being a very respected character on the board, they could that give them the self-esteem that they needed in their life, and as well as the money. And then, of course, with all the banner advertising that they have going on, sell people the idea that they can get what they want, what they need, anything that they need, they can get on these boards. And, you know, a lot of that is just law enforcement trying to entice people or induce them into making a, you know, a criminal act. With Ethics, you know, I don't know that he was really that much of a criminal. He was just more of a hapless, you know, hacker. And he wanted to make some money. And, you know, he, you know, asked us if he could be allowed to put that on the grifters.net site. And we told him that it wouldn't really be a good thing. It would probably be better if he put it on a choir board. And the reason was is because I didn't want him to publicize that kind of access, because I knew that people would jump all over him from the get-go. So we had him put it over on MuzzFuzz, which was a smaller board that was run by somebody else, but they were still part of the grifters organization. And at that point, he put it over there, and we thought it would silence everything, and, you know, and it would be very quiet, and then later on, you know, we could determine what to do with it. But at that point, somebody over there saw his vending post, which was amazing, and, you know, immediately engaged him in a transaction in which to prove his so-called access levels. And at that point, it turned out to be Myth, by a character by the name of Myth, who was also part of the Grifters organization, and another character that was part of the Shadow Crew organization, which is called Kumba Johnny, who later turned out to be the so-called informant who brought down Shadow Crew. And at that point, they engaged him in several transactions to make sure that he did have the proper access, and then they just let him sit there. And he continued on, you know, going back and forth into, you know, the Secret Service's emails with their sidekick over in New York, and then getting that one agent's account, who was actually the guy who was investigating them. And they were reading everything that was going on in the investigation of him and Myth. And so it was a really, you know, screwed up situation. Ethics knew, you know, that they knew about him already. And so it was really something that, you know, he didn't publicize that info everywhere.
I believe you said that the Secret Service actually knew about this and sat on it for a good year.
Yes, they did. The government knew about the hack, as I said, in March when they started setting him up over on MuzzFuzz. And they knew about this hack. They knew that T-Mobile was compromised, and they knew who did it. And they knew exactly who Ethics was, you know, by running his ICQ number through Google, and they found his resume, you know, which, you know, he had posted to a another site. They knew where he worked. They knew everything about him. But, you know, again, they did not do anything about the hack. You know, their law enforcement's attitude is they've got a lot of ongoing investigations, so they don't want to let out those ongoing investigations because it could compromise the security of other people that are involved in working with them in pushing down cybercrime and that type of thing, or other people with, you know, contracts to work for them because they were arrested and, you know, needed to be, you know, working off their cases by working for the government in a confidential informant role.
So let me see if I understand this correctly. The government, the Secret Service, they knew that T-Mobile was being hacked, and they also knew that they were being infiltrated as well. Is that correct?
Yes, and it's funny that, you know, that you know, they just didn't snap to it for some reason. They didn't, or they were using it to set up Ethics to make an arrest on him and make it look like, you know, they just found out. You know, you have to take a little bit of speculation with why, you know, they left that hole open after they knew who he was, knew what he did. You know, I guess it's a question of who, you know, was running that operation against him. And I think since it was Kumbajani, they could not close in on ethics and make the bust, because then it would have exposed Kumbajani too early. And therefore, Shadow Crew, since Kumbajani at that time was running Shadow Crew, he would have been exposed as the informant. And that would have made the Shadow Crew investigation very difficult. So they let it run until they were ready to close Shadow Crew down, which was in August. October. And when they were ready to shut them down, that's when they made the arrest on ethics, and then they went after everybody else.
So what happened to Myth?
Nobody knows what happened to Myth. He disappeared. The last we heard of him, he was leaving the country. They were investigating him pretty hard because he was doing quite a lot of ATM theft, and he was getting, I guess, pretty big. And, you know, he ripped off a lot of people in the end, you know, when that he was doing business with. And then he moved to Florida for a short period of time and moved into a very expensive mansion down there. And then he ran out of money, as all, you know, people that are in that business do. They eventually run out of the money that they make. You know, it doesn't matter if you're making $100,000 a week or $1 million a month or whatever. Eventually, that money is going to run out. And when it does, you've got to go right back to the well and get back involved. And if you've ripped people off in the past, then your reputation goes with it. And the last we had heard of Myth was that he was on his way out of the country and he was not going to come back.
But given his nature, it sounds like he's going to turn up again in some shape or form.
I would think so. My guess is that he's been arrested and he's being held incommunicado, as well as, you know, all the other Shadow Crew members that they busted. A lot of them, you know, there was a stockbroker by the name of Black Ops who was involved in, he was actually a real-life stockbroker and had his own stock brokerage business in New Jersey. And he was the Shadow Crew enforcer. And he would actually go out and get information on people. And then if they ripped off or did any, you know, bad things to the Shadow Crew people or the membership or the admins, he would actually go out and enforce his will on the so-called bad guy. And so, you know, he was busted. A lot of the major guys had very wealthy parents that were busted, but a lot of them are being held incommunicado in New Jersey, and you don't know what's going on in that realm. I do know that the main prosecutor, U.S. attorney, who brought that case against everybody has resigned and went into private practice. And I know that somebody else has taken the case, and that so far nobody's pled guilty. Now, while, you know, federal court is not a trial court anymore, it's more of a plea court, you would think that eventually these guys are going to plead guilty, but you just don't know at this stage of the game.
Now, let me ask you another question. Do you think that T-Mobile is going to survive this?
Oh, absolutely. I mean, it's a huge company. I mean, you know, it's probably going to be a joke somewhere down the line that's being, you know, said on late night television. You know, I think that I think they suffer from a reputation, you know, because their software is bad, you know, and because their, you know, system administrators were, you know, not very good. And they were a bloated company. You know, it's just like Microsoft. You know, people blame, you know, Bill Gates for every, you know, every trouble there is in the Windows world. You know, every hack, every spam, every email problem, every virus is attributed to Microsoft. But, you know, it's still surviving and making money and, you know, changing. I think that what needs to be done is that these companies need to be sued, you know, that carry this type of information. When this information is leaked or hacked, they need to be able to tell the public right away, you know, and quit falling into law enforcement's hands of the ongoing investigation. You know, granted, law enforcement has a need to investigate. They have sources that they have to have private so they can investigate. And if every time they got in the middle of one of these privacy breaches, which happens on an hourly basis on these boards, then they would be spending all their time, you know, notifying people, and their cases wouldn't amount to anything because they'd be giving up all their sources every day, every hour. And they would eventually run out of sources, and then it would just be too much of a burden. So law enforcement has a problem. And I think, you know, it really stems from the fact that they believe that running these websites, which a number of law enforcement agencies around the world set up these websites to catch people, it'd becomes a catch-22 for them. It's like having a police station on the web and all the criminals coming in and doing business, and they can watch and pick and choose their targets. And that's great for them. But in the end, you know, they're allowing a ton of people to get away with smaller stuff. You know, law enforcement will look at a case that's, you know, worth $500,000 and they'll go, you know, it's not worth my time, you know, and they'll just dump it, you know, and, you know, they're wanting cases that, you know, will bring them big accolades and promotions and that type of thing. And so they'll allow a huge portion of smaller crime to go on and people to be victimized while, you know, they're pursuing the larger goals, you know. And the problem is that they fall into that trap. You know, what do we do? Do we notify every time, you know, we have a breach? Do we notify the victims? You know, well, if you would stop running these boards, you wouldn't have those kind of victims. And the law enforcement's comeback is that we wouldn't know where those, you know, where these perpetrators are if we do, you know, if it wasn't for these boards. So, you know, it's a really strange situation. It's hard to really answer. As far as answering your question, though, I don't think T-Mobile is going to suffer unless Paris, with all of her money, and, you know, Damon Dash and a few other people get together and file a class action lawsuit, and it actually gets class action status. And as well as Choice Point, you know, Choice Point, Equifax, all of these companies right now, today, are breached. Your info, my info, everybody's info is constantly being traded on these boards. Under the eye of law enforcement half the time, and on the other half, they don't even care enough to find out about it. So it's just like, you know, it's very difficult. People are going to have to wake up and realize that their privacy is invaded before they even get a chance to sign up for anything. And the problem, you know, continues with everybody trusting a banker or an executive or some company on the other end of the phone saying, let me have your name, your social security number, your mother's maiden name, your date of birth, and that type of thing. I mean, we don't know these people. We don't know what they do. We don't know what's going on in their lives. We, you know, often find people on these boards that are company managers or executives or even bankers or even, you know, people in the banking sector who have access to information that they want to sell. And you just, you know, our privacy is just, you know, it's nothing. We're not private.
El, I want to thank you for your time, and thank you for bringing all this stuff to light. I am really waiting with bated breath for the next installment of, if people would like to reach you, is there a way to reach you, like, say, by email?
Yeah, elmariachi@mailvault.com.
All right, thank you so much. You're listening to Small World. If you'd like to reach me, I can be reached at bazookajoeshow@yahoo.com.